I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.
Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Hey there. Thank you for listening. This part of the show is brought to you by Indeed.com. All right, we're going to start with the cranberries.
Weird story, huh?
Really weird story. I expect that we'll have many more details in the days ahead, but right now there really isn't a whole lot. We can do some speculation. You know, we've certainly heard stuff about her and problems that she's had. Apparently she's had some undisclosed health problems, but she was in London, and I'm talking about Dolores O'Riordan, the singer for the Cranberries, is dead at 46, found dead in a London hotel room. Was this yesterday? It was yesterday.
Though. Yes, it was.
Got the news alert. There is no cause of death listed yet. Her body was found at a hotel in Westminster, England, early in the morning. She was pronounced dead at the scene. Her publicist says she was in London for a recording session, but did not say anything beyond that. Unnamed friends told TMZ that she had been dreadfully depressed in recent weeks and was also suffering from back pain. Neither of those things would be surprising. In 2014, she talked about how she suffered from, quote, terrible self-loathing and admitted that she tried to overdose the previous year.
Oh, see, I didn't see any of that. One of the things that I read yesterday was that she had severe back problems. Mm-hmm. And I immediately thought painkillers, because if
Quite
that's
possible,
what's going
right?
on with her. So they had a tour planned and had to cancel it not that long ago
right.
because of her back pain. And I don't know the extent of it. I haven't followed the Cranberries. I know they're one of the artists that we sort of built Alice on.
She was on all our early posters.
Yeah. Right.
So it would say the Cranberries in the background.
And
there.
And I probably have two of their albums. The first two albums were hits.
They were.
They did a lounge for us a couple of years ago at Inferno Lounge near Union Square. Yeah, I was there.
A couple years ago.
Yeah, I'd say maybe like 5 years ago.
Yeah, they reformed in like 2009.
Yeah.
And had put out at least one album. So it wouldn't surprise me too much that they would come through.
Well, one of the things I read was the first two albums, which were big hits in the ones we played, Linger,
Dreams.
Zombies.
Yeah, what is this one that you're playing?
So this is one of my favorite songs. I used to play this all the time in... when I lived in Chicago with Kinlan. I don't know if that's her name. Anyway, it's
but
called...
She was a world-class jazz saxophonist.
Yeah, it's called Ode to My Family.
Oh, yeah, I know this one.
According
this
to
song.
The story I read, they got more political as the albums progressed.
Right.
And there were less love songs and people tapped out.
Yeah.
And so they weren't selling as many records.
Well, their sales are up something like... No lie, 900,000% on Amazon and iTunes, you know, because people start streaming, people start buying. Dolores O'Riordan was talking about her self-loathing and how she tried to overdose. This is about her back pain as well. Manifested itself in my behavior and the pathologies I began to develop in my early adult life, such as my eating disorder, depression, eventually the breakdowns. She talked about how she was sexually abused for 4 years as a child. They released an album just last year called Something Else. It had new versions of their previous hits, like that song we just heard, Ode to My Family, Linger, Dream, Zombie, When You're Gone. Had three new songs, including a song called Rupture, which is about depression. Last year, she said, Dolores O'Riordan said, I have bipolar disorder, so I've experienced extremes throughout my life. But I was only diagnosed 2 years ago. There are two ends of the spectrum. You can get extremely depressed and dark and lose interest in the things you love to do. And then you can get super manic. When you're manic, you don't sleep. You get very paranoid. So I'm dealing with medication.
I didn't see a lot of that. I didn't look that hard, but... The one thing I saw was the back pain.
As for the back pain, they'd announced a reunion tour last spring. They canceled it in July because she was having issues with her back. She felt better by the end of the year, did some small gigs, but they had basically canceled the big tour. Naturally, now the Cranberries, I mean, they have to be done. She was the primary songwriter, the lyricist, the singer. They've were formed in 1990, put out five albums, went on hiatus in 2003. She did two solo albums in the following 6 years, and then in 2009, the Cranberries officially reunited. And technically, they've been together ever since, but they didn't do much the first 5 years and then put that album out. Let's see. I think it must have been last year. I thought I saw the year, but I don't see it here. Surges in their sales on Amazon and iTunes in the last 24 hours. Just, like, ridiculous how much they're selling right now. Like, yeah, a 900,000 unit surge is huge.
As legacies go, if that's your thing, you want to be a musician. I think about it a lot. Like David Bowie's records that he left behind, I was listening to them just the other day. Mm-hmm. They're so still relevant, and I listen to them, and they're great. I won't watch his movie, though. You know, like, I didn't go by Dune or whatever that thing he was in.
Right.
Same with pretty much everything. I feel like music is it, man.
A hit song can...
It stays. It's it's still relevant. Even, like, who passed not that long ago? The guy started rock and roll. Why can't it? Chuck Berry?
Did Chuck Berry die?
Didn't he?
I think you're right.
God, I don't even remember that.
No, he died, and that was when we started talking about that tape where he's just, like, shaming this hooker.
It's been a little bit.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, even his old songs, you can hear him and go,
he died last March.
That's where rock started, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he still kind of would listen to them because they're still, I don't know that they're relevant, but you know
but
how
they
tie
are,
into the
sure.
whole music. Like, yes, people are buying up her records right now. It's because they're... still listenable and still useful.
We were at the Fairmont on Thursday before the show, because it's right across from the Masonic.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a piano player just sitting in the middle of the, you know, the big room right when you first walk into the Fairmont. There's like that kind of dining room. It's a restaurant. This guy, this piano player, he's playing, you know, like jazz standards and some classical stuff. And all of a sudden... the whole table went, oh, he's playing Life on Mars. He's playing a David Bowie song. And then the next song was Black Hole Sun performed. It was just like, oh, my God. So John's a few drinks in. And he goes over and he starts singing the song.
Get out of here.
To the dude. Oh, my God. It was so funny. So we're far enough away that we can really only sort of see that he's interacting with the guy. And I don't know. You know, I think if you put money in the guy's cup, he's willing to let you get away with a little more. So John did that, and he's standing there singing Black Hole Sun in the middle of the
Was the guy open to it?
You know.
Well, what's he gonna
like
do?
Like I said, you put some money in the bowl.
Yeah,
and
it's funny.
I know, it was funny.
Well, that's...
But there it is, you know. Those are songs that will live and have lived already beyond.
I was talking to my kid about music, and I was saying I've gotten her into Bob Marley because I think he's great. And again, with the relevant... That music will always be listenable. And I've said to her, because she'll say, can we see Bob Marley? No, he's gone to heaven, but he left behind this great music for mm-hmm. us to enjoy.
You can see him on YouTube. I'm sure you can find some stuff there.
And the link between Michael Franti and Bob Marley is there. And she's like, but Michael's still alive, right? Yes. And Michael gave me a book. Yes. And Michael, we can see Michael. Yes. He's still here.
Yes. Enjoy Michael Franti. Enjoy all your rock stars while you've got them,
yeah.
people. Oh, man, that's another thing, too. Like, you know, the Tom Petty thing was just like, for me, that was, of all the losses we've had in the last couple of years, and there have been some hard ones, like Tom Petty's a hard one for me.
Yep.
I felt like he wasn't that old. It was... Although he'd lived a hard life, it was kind of out of the blue. And every show I have seen since then, they do a Tom Petty song. And it just pulls a lump up into my throat. And I just think about, how we take these people for granted. Exactly. Oh, my God.
Kind of a wake-up call. Even the Prince thing was a wake-up call.
Like, oh, yeah.
I gotta go see some people. Especially the ones I like are so damn old.
Right. I mean, thank God the Eagles are coming around again this year, you zet.
By the way, we'll have Eagles tickets 9 o'clock.
Oh.
Is that right?
Yeah, we're giving away tickets 9, noon, 3, and 5.
Oh, yeah, with the Zach Brown Band.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that, Uzi. Speaking of the Eagles, there's your show. See you, Zet, at AT&T Park.
There's just no cooler legacy, I guess is my point.
Sure.
Like, music will stay.
Rock and roller, yeah.
And you'll... And Tom Petty, I mean, those songs, they'll live forever, too. Prince, they'll live forever.
Yep. Bowie. Michael Jackson. His daughter, Paris Jackson.
Oh. This is a trippy story.
This is kind of a crazy story.
All right. So we're moving on.
We are.
Next story.
Yes. Although I'll revisit the Dolores thing. I'll make sure everybody knows. It's dangerous to pick up hitchhikers.
Well, sure it is.
Yeah.
Don't be a duck.
You just don't do it.
No matter who you are.
Right. No matter who you are. And I don't know that it mattered who Paris Jackson was. And maybe these people were just going to steal the debit card of anybody.
There was a time, I think, in America when people actually thought, I'll just grab a ride.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually pretty commonplace. Mm-hmm. Now you have to think, what has this person done that has left them on the side of the road? And no, I want no part of it.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
I've only picked up a hitchhiker one time, and it was someone I knew from high school. A couple years out of high school, I saw. I was like, I know that guy. Pulled over.
Huh.
And even that, I was like, and, you know, of course now I'm like on high alert. I'm like, oh, God, he's a hitchhiker now. What's going on? This is my hometown, for God's sake. I picked the dude up. Whatever. So anyway... Michael Jackson, I'm sure, would have advised Paris, don't pick up hitchhikers.
Right.
She posted a video on social media where she talked about how she gave a couple hitchhikers a ride across L.A. the night before. She said the one girl was pretty effed up, so she put her own socks on her. I don't know why she needed to take her socks off and put her socks on this. I don't know. But she mentioned that. And then she took him to a fast food joint and got him some dinner. So, nice. People are messed up. They need a ride. She's like, the hell with it. Picks them up. I don't know what she's driving. Maserati.
When you say messed up, they're wasted.
That's what it sounds like.
On drugs
like. Yes.
Or booze or whatever. Okay.
She says pretty effed up. And she actually says the word.
Okay.
And then that girl repaid her by stealing her debit card. She didn't elaborate on that, so it's not clear if the girl also somehow got her PIN number and managed to get some cash out. But so I don't know if they used it before she reported it. But that's how she was paid back. You know, look, as far as I'm concerned, she got off easy. Lots of bad things happen to people who pick up hitchhikers. It could have been far worse.
God, oh, well, to think if they would have got her PIN or had her right there and saw that balance, they would have kept her.
Yeah. We can't let you go. We're going to need you. Hey, is Hooman right there?
Hey.
He is not. I think he's working on music.
Oh, maybe I'm going to save this one. Because Saudi Arabia just lifted a 35-year ban on movies.
Good for them.
Yeah. I'm going to save it.
I don't exactly... I can't speak to any of that. I've never been to the Middle East at all.
No.
Well, Saudi Arabia... I don't know. It does seem crazy that they don't have the freedoms we have.
Right.
I
mean,
period.
Women can drive there now. That's good, right? That just started.
That is... It's crazy, right?
Uh-huh.
And to hear, and you know what? We never really talked about it. There were protests going on in Iran that are... did you hear anything about that?
What is it about? What are they protesting?
Human rights? The inability to use the internet?
Ago.
I mean, it was big.
That's great.
And people were getting killed.
Well, it's not great that anybody gets killed, but certainly the world is a totally different place than it was even just, 10 years ago. And everybody should have access. And everyone should know what's going on in the larger scheme around them.
So good for them. They get movies now.
Well, I'm going to just do this now, whether he's here or not. So 35-year ban on movie theaters. I don't know what this means. The movie theaters have been doing all this time, just gathering dust, or did they get torn down or whatever. But now they've lifted the ban. And this was... Let's see, early 80s, theaters were banned under pressure from strict Islamists. But Saudi Arabia, they're saying here's catching up with the times more and more. They even let women drive now. So legit movie theaters are part of the plan. And so I guess there was a few feature-length animated children's film that screened in a temporary theater this weekend. So what is the first movie that the people of Saudi Arabia got to see in 35 years?
The Last Jedi.
The Emoji Movie.
Get out of here.
Which is sad. I mean, it must have been a thrill. They haven't seen a movie in a theater in 35 years, so yay.
You don't show The Last Jedi?
I mean, I show The Last Jedi, I guess.
On.
Or maybe I even just go, hell, let's just give them like an old Star Wars. Whatever.
The first one, maybe.
Whatever. but The Emoji Movie?
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen it.
No, I have not heard good things about it.
I haven't either, but I haven't seen it.
Maybe they got it cheap.
That's... gotta be it, right?
Yeah.
Let's see how we do in Saudi Arabia with our emoji movie. Anyway, Saudi Arabia get to have some movies, so congratulations to them. And finally, I thought that Journey it was getting torn apart because of political and religious differences of opinion.
Wow.
So maybe they kicked the keyboard player out. I'm not sure how this is happening, but
Jonathan Cain?
Def Leppard and Journey are hitting the road together in May, so it looks like they've either patched it. You know, money trumps all. You know,
I'm going to guess they patched it up.
I'm with you.
But Neil Sean was making extreme threats.
Didn't he even do a solo record in between? Like,
yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
Anyway. He was talking about getting the original singer back, Greg Raleigh,
yeah,
back and doing a show or two. I think he might have even done a show or two with Greg Raleigh.
I think so. I think like maybe in the Midwest or something.
I don't know where, but
funny.
I think though, in the end, a 6-month tour in stadiums with Def Leppard has to iron out all kind of issues.
Let's just have separate dressing rooms. We'll get through this. At the end, we'll cash our checks, and then we can take a break from each other. In a recent Instagram post, Neil Sean said, Journey and Def Leppard coming soon. So that's really as official as the announcement has gotten.
Yeah, I didn't see any dates.
No dates yet.
No, but it is official. I also read it,
yeah,
that it's happening. It's
and set. There are a bunch of weird tour. I have a few more tour details coming up. See if I get to those today. What's coming up in the news, Vin?
There was a false alarm sent out in Hawaii that is going to take your head clean off. Mm. If you haven't heard about it, wait till you hear this. And travel makes the news. Also, chores coming up.
The Radio Alice Report.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by The Bay Club. Ease back into your routine today with a free 3-day pass. Visit bayclubs.com/routine to get started. Here's what's happening. So I wanted to begin with this story from Hawaii. I follow a lot of people on Instagram that are people, pro skateboarders, pro surfers, or former pro surfers in this case. Former world champ, actually. Sonny Garcia is a guy that lives in Hawaii and is from there.
I know his name.
Yeah. He's actually been on some of the tattoo shows. So I think he's even been on some reality TV. But he was world champ. So anyway.
Surfer.
World champ surfer, yes. So he, on Instagram, posted a picture that said, this better be a joke. And it was actually the text that was sent to everyone's phone in Hawaii, and it said, in all caps, ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. Everybody got this.
That is the most frightening thing you can get on your phone.
Yeah.
For it to follow with, this is not a drill, too. I mean, it truly, if you were questioning, is this a drill? There it is at the end. This is not a drill.
Does every plane take off at that moment? Like, let's get out of here.
So the people of Hawaii got the most terrifying moment of their lives. This was Saturday morning when an emergency alert text went out to every single cell phone in the state. Again, ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. Of course, chaos broke out as many people traveling didn't know where to go. They are in hotels.
Yep.
911 was swamped with calls. The cell phone networks went down from everyone making calls. Flights were grounded. People were running and scrambling, hiding everywhere from bathtubs to storm drains.
Diana Ross was there. She went to everybody from her hotel was put down in the basement. It was the best they could do. Get in the basement.
It was a false alarm. It was a mistake. 38 minutes after the first text went out, another one was sent clarifying that was a mistake. Official word is that an employee at the state's emergency management center pressed the wrong button.
I didn't notice it for 38 minutes.
Well, here's the other thing. So then that's the first story. Now, the sender of Hawaii's false alarm has been reassigned. Hmm. They've not named this person because...
That's probably for the best.
Hawaii's emergency management system has been getting death threats. And their response, of course... so far has been to not escalate it and say, we get it. It was scary. People are blowing off steam. We understand. But they also know not to release this person's name.
Right.
Because it scared the you-know-what out of a lot of people. Apparently, this person that works for the agency that sent the missile alert to cell phones across the state picked the wrong option on his computer for a routine drill. And then you have to confirm that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not one button gone. It's a button. Then you have to proofread what it's showing you you're about to do. Then he confirmed it. Actually, they say it's a he here, so that's out there.
Narrows it down.
Yeah, that does narrow it down. They've also reassigned this person, so that might narrow it down as well. The new person in your office?
The new janitor.
That's the guy.
Right. Oh, haven't seen you here before. You don't look like you know what you're doing with that mop.
If you don't know, the escalating tensions between the United States and North Korea already have Hawaii in a concerned state.
Yeah, well, they're the closest.
Right. So people were saying their goodbyes. That's what this set off. People were saying their goodbyes. And then, of course, the fear turned to anger and... Mm-hmm. Again, this person feels terrible.
Of course they do. I heard they're going to put some new protocols in place where now two people are going to have to confirm anything that gets sent out over Hawaii's emergency cell phone alert system.
Or maybe that one in particular. Mm. You know, like certain things need a second person's approval, like very specific things. A drill. You should be able to do a drill. It should be important that everyone gets drilled.
Yeah. Get drilled, people.
But I don't
think that's very important.
It absolutely is.
40%. This is another story now.
Okay, moving on.
And I'm not surprised by this.
Okay.
In certain places and with certain people, you get this idea that everyone travels the world and never has to, and has time off and money, endless money. 40% of Americans have never left the country.
Oh. Wow.
40%.
I got to say, I actually feel like that's a little bit low. You know, how great that 60% have left the country at some point. I suppose, though, if you visited Mexico.
Yeah, well, Mexico and Canada are probably the biggies.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you just jump across.
Maybe
I've only been to Mexico.
Well, that's...
Never been out of the country other than that.
You know, and it's... Look, I follow some of our old interns. Yeah. I've known people throughout the years who make travel a priority.
Yep.
And what money they make, they spend on travel. And I bet those experiences are the things that, when they're old... and they're living in a bush, and they're eating cat food.
Oh, God.
Those memories will probably keep them warm, I'm sure.
Really?
I have
Do
to
they
believe.
Have to live in a bush and eat cat food?
I don't know.
God, it's just sounding okay, really terrible.
What,
like, if my trip, I'm not going to, I don't want to go to Iceland. I'm going to put it that way. I will take, you know.
I'm not talking about you, you weirdo. I'm talking about the people.
Some roof over my head, not a bush.
Prioritized it to the point where they are not saving.
Mm. Yeah.
But they are traveling the world, and I'm sure it's great. But I always felt like I had to work. So I, you know, through my 20s, I was working. There was no trips.
Right.
As I see people, you know, Instagramming from around the world, I think, wow, that's.
Well, maybe their parents a person are paying for it.
Well, probably. And that's a person that's probably also going to go to their parents and say, can I have my legacy? Because it's not working out there in the world. Can I have that? Anyway, I'm not surprised to see that number, and you're right. It's probably should be even higher because most people are working.
Right.
And
seems
when
like 40% is actually, wow, more than half of people have gotten out of the country at some point.
And when they get dough, they have to buy the needs, not the wants.
Right.
You know, like.
Sure.
The house is falling apart. We got to fix that
We
thing.
Have to put gutters on. It's very unsexy. It's expensive. But it has to be done if we'd like to keep this place in one piece.
So a huge number of Americans have barely traveled anywhere. 40% have never left the country. 54% have visited less than 10 states.
Oh. God, I feel like I've lived in 10 states.
Yeah, I've done the states thing, no problem. I've been to a bunch of them. 13% of Americans have never been in an airplane.
Oh.
And 11% have never left their home state. Wow. So here are the important numbers. 76% of Americans wish they could travel more, and that's of course they do.
Yeah.
That's where it comes into, we can't afford to travel.
Right.
You know, the couch is unusable.
Right. The kids in college.
10%, though, and this is the other number, are perfectly fine never going anywhere. And that's okay. So 10% don't want to travel. Everybody else would love to.
Sure.
It's just not real.
It always depends on the travel for me. Like, you know, I hear about your girl going, you know, to Geneva or wherever. And when you have to travel a lot for work and you feel like it's taking you away from your family or the things you want to be doing, like that's not the same as traveling with your family for pleasure or just, you know, for pleasure in general. You know, I think that probably a lot of people who have to travel a lot for work take a dimmer view.
Well,
they just want to stay home when they're on vacation.
For her, she was lucky. For the missus, she was single and traveling the world for work and got to see all kinds of cool stuff. And, you know, I've told you guys this. We talked at length about whether we should have a kid.
We could go everywhere.
We could go everywhere. We would be doing great financially.
Dual income, no kids.
Anywhere we want, you know, or have a kid. What do you want to do?
I want to have a kid. I want a baby.
And you're so happy now.
Oh,
I
love that kid, no question. But I tried to explain.
Talk her out of it.
Yep.
You know, there's two things are happening here. One is freedom, like you've never understood.
Freedom.
Yeah, there's a severe lockdown.
Yeah. No, that baby is an anchor. There's no question about it. Suddenly everything in your life matters a lot more and your responsibilities or, you know, in the olden days you could have walked away. Oh, well. Yeah. Get a kid? No.
Right. I wanted to mention, I actually meant to mention it first thing this morning. I don't know why I thought of it just now, but three billboards outside Ebbings, Missouri.
Uh-huh.
I saw that over the weekend.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Think?
Did you like it?
I liked it a lot, but as I was watching it, it's not a fun movie.
No.
And I thought, Hooman showed this for his birthday party?
Mm-hmm. It's his favorite movie.
Well, I understand. It's good. It is a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me a lot of Casper by the Sea.
Manchester.
That. Whatever. Didn't it? It's like got
that same
heavy,
gritty, unglamorous.
Ugh.
There's some bad crap has gone down. Oh. You're finding out more and more about it.
And
yeah,
she continues to make bad decisions where you're just all. Oh.
Wow. Yeah, it's not. It's a Hooman. Vinny was just saying that he really enjoyed.
God, this is the first time I've seen you in 2 hours.
Hi.
Vinny was just saying how much he loved Three Billboards, how much he liked it.
Oh,
it didn't catch me as a birthday party celebration type of movie, but I did like it very much.
Well, listen, I wanted to pick that film because it was an indie movie. I was incredibly like blown away the first time I saw it. I love Woody Harrelson, and I knew this wasn't a film that you would just naturally go out and see. Like, somebody would have to inspire you to go. So
Sam Rockwell plays this sort of drunk, loudmouth deputy.
Yeah,
he's excellent in it. He hosted SNL over the weekend, and he was so flipping good.
He is good.
He's great.
Yeah, so I'm glad you liked it.
I liked
it. And I'm glad it won Best Picture and Best Actress and Best Supporting Actor, Best Screenplay. I don't want to say I told you so, but I knew that was a winner as soon as I saw it.
I was actually surprised. I was waiting to hear Woody Harrelson's name as
I know.
Best Actor in that.
He should get a nomination. I don't know. Like that. Remember the letter he wrote, Vinny?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I just
so beautiful. That moment, everyone was like tearing up.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. What did you think of the end?
Well, I don't want to say too much because if someone is going to see the movie, then...
Were you disappointed in the end?
Absolutely. 1,000% disappointed. Like that, it went from, like it where it,
it went from opinion, very gritty and very real.
In my opinion, it should, the way, so about halfway through I went, okay, so we're not going to solve this. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm trying not to give anything away, but I went, okay, this isn't getting solved. This is about the aftermath, right? And then I'm like, and then I'm thinking, okay, it could just end on her in tears at any moment, and that would be a fair ending.
But that's real. When things don't get solved, that's real.
I understand.
And that's fine for it to not be solved, but what it, the way it did end was
ridiculously
not real.
I'm sorry that you guys didn't get the depth of that.
The ending?
I was satisfied with the end. I was
good.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Well, if you like things tied up with a neat little bow, completely unrealistically.
Okay. They weren't tied up with a neat little bow.
Yeah, kind of.
How?
Suddenly these two are galloping.
A militia.
They're completely alone. They have nobody else in this world.
I don't want to spoil it for anybody. It's just, you know what? See the movie. The movie's worth seeing. 100%.
Yeah. Totally.
But the ending, I think, is
although the movie
weak.
Even depressed the happiest person we all know.
Do you know who that person is?
He came out of there like, oh, man.
Is it Franti?
It's Michael Franti.
Well, yeah, it's depressing. It's not a happy movie. That's why I said
and
it.
And the racism in it
party,
is incredible.
I'm
sure that was difficult to watch on many levels for him.
Right. By the way, I know we probably will lose Hooman again because he's doing double duty today. But I got to meet Rachel.
Where was she?
She came to
Where's Rachel?
Goofball. She came to our event on Thursday night.
Did.
And she's a delight.
And they seem very familiar. Like, I actually think that she's his girlfriend.
No.
He's very protective.
He's
got his arm around her. He stepped away from her a couple times.
He wasn't that protective. At backstage, I go get her. No, she's fine. She's hanging with friends. And I went, okay, take it easy. Sheesh.
Well, he doesn't like to babysit people.
The backstage area was a little awkward.
There was plenty of room on the couch, and it wasn't awkward at all.
Sitting on the couch.
We were just hanging.
I was looking at my phone.
I mean, you know, we were clearly
waiting to meet John Mayer for 32 minutes.
Oh, come on. It was fine.
It was fine, but I would have liked to have been out there watching Matt Nathanson. They made it like it was an emergency that we had to come backstage. I was like, oh.
Well, they did. That's for sure.
They sure did.
It made me feel
hurry up and wait right there on the couch for 32
minutes. I was hiding I'm hiding right by the sign that says Vinny on it. What is wrong with you people?
Look there. Start there.
Our text number is 800-400-3697. There's a couple. I get it that you're all mostly white, but can you please acknowledge that Edwin Hawkins passed away yesterday?
Yeah, it's a long show, guys.
We don't do everything.
We don't do everything.
And we try not to repeat stuff unless it's...
You must know him, right? The Oh Happy Day? That's Edwin Hawkins.
I know the song.
How old was he?
No, I didn't even know who he was. I had to look him up.
Yeah,
I saw the story this morning.
It looks...
Well, I heard the song on my way in as they were talking about him passing, and I thought, oh, yep, I've
He was born in 43, 74.
All right.
I think I have experience with most genres of music, but gospel?
Not your thing.
Zero.
I'll get that song ready so
you can
mention it at 7.
I will mention it at 7. Thank you.
I love that song, by the way.
530 says, does Bryn have a private Instagram? Because the photos Vinny was talking about are definitely not on the one you promote on Alice. Thanks for the tease, Vin. He was doing it in the what's the movies section of Instagram?
Movies?
Oh, the stories.
Yeah, that.
Oh, stories. Oh, got it.
I know. I was like, wait,
whatever that is.
So you have to get to it fast enough to see them before they disappear.
Right.
And it is on his, right? Brittany
yeah.
Boy?
Yeah. Brittany Boy. Mm-hmm. BrynnyBoy.
But apparently him and the missus and...
Baby Cameron. Baby Diamond.
Diamond.
Well, take her to Vegas, you know? Take little Diamond to Vegas.
Cutest little kid.
I know. She is cute. All right. Coming up, we'll talk about the deaths in the world. Because that's super fun. I've got a great dating story. And James Franco, what's going on with him after all the accusations?
It's Sarah and Vinny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.